you feel it all inside you. You know what I mean? Like you just kind of everything in it, and it kind of stays
everything
with you
jiggles.
For a while.
Are you jiggling,
everything
Holly?
Jiggled. All my innards were jiggled. jiggled my innards.
What happens when you combine a design-loving, big-city-living, black-clothes-wearing art history major with a culinary-teaching, small-town-living, pink toenail-painting home ec major? We'll stir in two husbands, six grown kids, pop it in the oven for 40-plus years of friendship and foolishness, and you get a big old batch of designer cornbread.
People. Hi, everybody. We are so glad you were. That was very perky of me and very.
You are very perky. You're very perky on this cloudy day.
Listen, today, I've got my coffee. I've done my errands. I've been to Old Navy and Sephora today to get miracle things that are going to fix miracle. It's going to solve all my problems.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, gosh.
So here I am.
Listen. All right, y'all, it is the week of the eclipse, the great eclipse. This is episode 82. Are we 82?
83.
I don't know, y'all. I don't even know what my name is right now.
Okay, your name is Joni. You're at your house. You're at your house. I'm Holly.
Listen, it has been... I just got to get through April. How many times do I say that? I just got to get through this. I just got to get...
You said it every week.
I know.
It's okay. Y'all, she's looking a little stressed. It's good.
All right. You have, before we get into, you know, all my drama.
Yes.
Tell us, you went to New York.
Yes.
You went to Vermont.
I did, y'all. I got to check off two new states. So okay. I'm very excited. It was really good. Maybe that's why I'm a little chipper too, because I've had a break. So.
She went to Vermont, and a nor'easter came through.
Yes, it did. It did, y'all. We stayed in Burlington, Vermont, and had a lovely little time. It was a quick thing. Tim had work stuff, but I had a day to go drive and beautiful islands up. I almost went all the way almost to the Canadian border. There was a place I could get real, not to go over it, but and I just didn't want to take the time. But beautiful drive right up on the Lake Champlain is just splashing all up and burnt. It's great. It's a crazy place. Remote.
We're going to go back. I have to go.
She
sends me a picture of her little coffee while, you know, I'm here. And she sends me her little coffee, her little maple coffee.
It was a maple syrup coffee or maple coffee or something. Let me just tell you this. Everywhere up there, every place we went inside smelled like maple syrup. I'm not kidding. Vermont just smells like maple syrup. And I'm not mad about it. I wouldn't
be mad about that. No.
It was literally, we went into like a bar. We went into like a thing and there was a slight smell of maple syrup. And I'm like, this is quite delightful. We had missed the like sugaring time because that had been, that's a little bit earlier when first thaw happens because then the sap rises and all that. So we didn't get to like tap a tree, but our hotel gave us a little bottle of maple syrup and I was real excited about that. And, but yeah, as Joni said, it was just kind of cold in the 40s and no snow on the ground. I mean, you could see it in the mountains when we flew in a little bit, but yeah, they forecast snow that night and we went to bed and we woke up the next morning and there was nothing when we went to bed and we woke up the next morning to about 6 inches of snow.
Yeah.
And it was just coming down. It was beautiful.
Yes. Yeah.
It was wet, heavy, just like
yeah,
big glops of snow, but it was just, you know, so fast. But the thing is, I really wasn't, and we had a rental car and then we were driving down to Brooklyn. So, you know, that could have been a little bit of a stressor, but you know, I wasn't worried because I'm like, they know how to take care of
they
the
know
roads.
How to do the roads. Yeah.
They
deal with that. Well, you know, when I went home with Ron to Minnesota one time, it was, you know, and I was so excited. I guess it was at Christmas and I'd never had a white Christmas. Mm. And we get up there and I'm so excited. Well, there was no snow. Mm. It was too cold to snow, evidently. Well, we went to bed, and when we woke up the next morning, I walked outside. The snow was up to my knees. I mean, just overnight. It was midnight we ever got there, you know, because it's all the way across the country. And it was up to my knees by the next morning. It was crazy.
Listen, it happens fast. And it was this big storm that was going across the country. So they all knew it was coming and it was fine. And like we got up, I mean, the streets, the parking lot of the hotel were all plowed. Everything was totally fine. So it was beautiful. We just drived in. Yeah. We drove in the storm, and it was snowing, and all the trees. Like I said, it was that thick, heavy, wet snow, so it stuck to all the trees, and it was super windy. Was but then gorgeous. It was gorgeous, and we drove along, and the drive down was really a nice drive. It was an easy drive.
Okay, so from Vermont, Tim had a little conference in Vermont. From Vermont, you drove down to see Thatcher in Brooklyn.
We went to Brooklyn.
And tell everybody what happened next. So first you go to Vermont, you cause a nor'easter.
Yeah.
And you go to New York City and you cause a...
An earthquake. We had a 4.8 earthquake while Holly is sitting in the lobby having her breakfast. You guys. I have felt earthquakes several times in my life, just... throughout, not anything huge, but even as young kid, you know, we've had them in Missouri on and off. So
I've never felt one.
It's a unique, but a specific feeling. It's hard to describe other than, you feel it all inside you. You know what I mean? Like you just kind of everything in it, and it kind of stays
everything
with you
jiggles.
For a while.
Are you jiggling,
everything
Holly?
Jiggled. All my innards were jiggled. Jiggled my innards. So it went, and it probably, I felt it for a good 10 seconds. And I know that doesn't sound very long, but, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4. I mean, you know, it was a good 10 seconds to the point where kind of I'm looking around because it comes all of a sudden. You're not really hearing anything. You're just feeling it. And that's weird too. Normally when you feel rumbling, it's because you can also hear. It wasn't to the point where anything rattled, like the dishes. I mean, I was right in the, like there was bar, you know, over there with bottles and stuff. Nothing rattled and fell. You know, it wasn't anything like that. But it
y'all
definitely.
Heard her. Y'all heard her. She was in the bar in the morning.
That's where they served the breakfast. The bar was not open, but the breakfast was. I had to get my Americano. So... anyway, but the lady, this gal was sitting next to me at the next table. And I'm thinking, man, that sure felt weird, but there's lots of rumbling. And I'm like, I know the subways can make things, but I'm like, I haven't felt it this whole time. You know, we'd been there overnight, you know, and I'm like, I hadn't felt that yet. We're in a big, tall hotel. I'm just like, I don't think so. So I kind of looked around and the gal next to me looked over. She's like, did you feel that? And I'm like, I did. She's like, was that an earthquake? I said, I think that it probably was. I said, that's what it felt like. And she was like, oh my God. So she got on the Twitter real fast and she's like, yeah, that's what people are saying. So, but it's funny because a lot of people didn't feel it. It really depended on where you were. The people downstairs.
So on the ground level,
they didn't feel it as much, which makes sense because as it, you know, as it sort of shakes, the stuff up higher is going to move a little bit more. Right. Yeah. So the guy at the door, they didn't feel it at all. And the reason I know this is because Holly gathered up her little pins and her little Bible study supplies that were out because I was reading the Word of the Lord at the time. And I decided to head to the ground floor and outside. I just wanted to, because I'm not, listen, Holly doesn't play. Because you don't know at this point. You're like, was that a first tremor? Was that a set, you know, is something bigger coming? Is everything okay? I think it is. It wasn't that big, no big deal, but Holly doesn't play. I've watched too many movies and too many things where everyone's like, stay where you are. It's fine. Don't worry about it. And then, you know, disaster. So I just kind of meandered down to the little ground floor. And that's where I got to chat with the people down there. And I just kind of went outside and then I came back in, just sort of stood there for a little bit. And I texted Tim and Thatch because they were at the Costco. They weren't even with me. Mm-hmm. They were at the Costco getting, because Tim still had the rental car. So he's like, anyway, Thatch, let's run you to Costco so you can get some stuff. Because he had tried to go the other day. Let me tell you what. Imagine going to the Sam's or the Costco and you got to carry it all back on the subway and on the ground, and you're schlepping along with your giant Costco.
I mean, he needs the Hulkin bag.
He does. He has one. I think he's got one. He did go and buy some. He said, I got some IKEA bags, you know, big IKEA. Yeah. And I'm like, okay. But anyway, so Tim's like, let's just take you. And he was so blessed. Yeah. He's like, oh my gosh, I'm stocked up. No room in his apartment for it. It's like a coffee table now. It's like a side table. Put a cloth on your boxes, y'all.
Step over the toilet paper, son.
Step over it. So, but anyway, so we did. We had an earthquake and everyone, it was all on the news. I mean, then I sat there and watched the news because they were, Thatch and Tim were doing their thing, and then they were going to return in the car and come meet me. But so I watched it on the news and everyone was a flutter. But yeah, it just depended on where you were. So there was an earthquake.
So Holly texted me and said, we just had an earthquake. And my first question to her was, what did Tim do?
She did. She totally blamed my husband. Did Tim
do? I know.
He blamed
Turns
my husband.
Out, he fell down at the Costco. And there was
he went to give someone a hug and rah, rah, and then knocked him right down. No, but I will tell you pretty quickly when he got back, I pretty quickly was like, and I know, but I'm like, hey, I'm like, the bridges and tunnels are all okay, mm-hmm, right?
Right. Yeah.
Because we're about to get in the subway to go under the freaking water to get over to Manhattan that day. So I'm like, everything's fine, right?
It's good.
And he's like, yeah, which I always know he says, yeah. And I'm like, so fast. And I'm always like, I don't think
you don't know. Yeah.
I don't think you're thinking about it. But anyway.
And then she gets to get in an airplane and she flies right in the middle of what?
The full total solar eclipse.
She was in the air, in the totality.
Air. You guys, in the air, on the airplane, looked up straight up and saw it with my little glasses. The flight attendants were super nice and like came out on the radio, you know, trying to figure out, we think we're going to cross, you know, we think we're going to see it and da-da-da, and giving updates. And then some nice man in the front gave up his little move from his window seat because you had to really get, it was almost straight up the plane, like right, looking up. So you had to get right up next to the window and get your face on it. And this nice man let everyone, and the flight attendants let us all, anyone who wanted to walk around. I mean, we were all walking all over the place. Yeah. And got to do that. And it got dark and there was like, you know, sunsetty looking like all over the thing, you know?
Yeah.
And, so that's that. That's it. That's the trifecta. I'm done with the weather. I'm done with the things right now.
Can I give you my eclipse experience here?
Please do. Tell us about your surviving the eclipse.
Here's my, I survived the eclipse. So, you know how there were some people who were like, the rapture's going to happen.
That's so
dumb. The totality.
Oh, sorry. I'm the worst person. Sorry if you believed that. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So
it's just ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. Now, I will say this. In biblical times, they didn't know the science, and can you imagine being there and not having any clue, and all of a sudden,
not a clue.
The sun goes dark, you know.
Seriously. And they couldn't. Well, I think at some point they were able to start predicting stuff, but not.
And
exactly.
So then
you don't know.
I read somewhere that it started when it came into the United States, it would cross over a town of Jonah, Texas, mm-hmm. and its path of totality would cross like several towns named Nineveh.
I heard this as well.
You know,
which means nothing.
Except perhaps it is a call to repentance.
Well,
So you mix that with the cicada things coming this summer.
Oh, I forgot about the plague.
The plague is coming. Now, here's what I also read, and I think it's true. I think I've researched enough, but it may not have been. But the last eclipse and this eclipse, do you know where the X was? Where it met?
At the same spot, but I don't know where it is.
It's at the Ark. at the replica of the Ark in Kentucky.
Stop it right now. Mm-mm. Some marketing person made that up.
So, anyway.
Okay.
So, all my kids are talking about this, you know, but so I'm sitting outside. It happens during fourth period when I don't have a class.
Did they let kids go out?
They gave everybody glasses
that's
and all this.
Super fun.
So I go out and I don't have any kids. And so I'm sitting back there in the back by my room. I have a really good view. And my youth director's wife came out and sat beside me. And we were kind of laughing. Sorry if you thought the rapture was coming. We were kind of laughing at you. And
we're not trying to be mean. It's just, come on.
It's just not going to happen. So,
why would you possibly think that?
We're laughing at this. And Hanno Jr. had given me this little thing that he made with it, you know, so it was really nice. I had this box instead of the glasses. I could kind of hold it up. It was really nice to look at. And I played as, I don't know, maybe halfway through, I reached over and grabbed my phone and I turned on Spotify and played CeCe Winans' How Great Thou Art.
Oh,
I just thought that was a good moment to play that.
That sure is.
That's not on my list, any of my playlist. It isn't how, but it wasn't on any of my playlists. And then it just started randomly playing music. I mean, none of it on my list.
Right.
At all. Nowhere. Right. Just, you know, just randomly. Mm-hmm. Okay. At the point of totality, it started playing, "People Get Ready, Jesus is coming soon."
And you were like, no.
Michaela we were laughing. And I looked at each other like, oh.
We're in trouble. We're in
God
so much
quick.
Trouble.
Yeah.
God seriously. Got you quick.
Yes, right there at the point of totality. That's the song that just randomly came across my Spotify.
Oh, I love it so much. God is the best, y'all. He is the best. He will get you and just... You know, he's having a fun time with all this whole situation down here.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, that's my...
That's amazing. I love that so much. Well, it's funny because, I don't know. Again, I feel like the world that we're in right now, we've talked about it, you know, we're on a podcast, so we're giving our opinions because that's what we're here to do. But... You know, you feel like you kind of have to have an opinion on everything. And, you know, not everything needs to have an opinion, but I mean.
Well, listen, I will say this. There was a girl whose mother would not give her permission to go outside and watch the eclipse because she told her if she looked at it at the point of totality, she would die.
Okay. Well, and I feel like she probably learned that day. That wasn't true because whole rest of the school went out there and they didn't die. So I feel like that student is going to really have a better understanding of science. And that's great. But it's interesting because like, it is a big deal. It's really fun. It's cool. It's so funny how everyone's like kind of, I'm not going to say freaking out, but whatever. And it's like, we literally just had this in 2017. We were down in Nashville and we saw whole thing down at Belmont. Yeah. We were there, you know, dropping thatch off or whatever we were doing. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like we kind of just saw one, which is unique. I mean, I know it didn't take the same path. Maybe that's what they mean, but
we got to see it. And I don't know that it was as total, maybe. I don't
it
know.
Was.
I don't,
in Nashville, was it? In Nashville, it was. Okay. It was a total, in fact, I feel
remember
like
we actually got out of school for that one and Caleb had a bunch of his friends over and we were all sitting back there by the pool watching
That's right. So it's interesting because I feel like it just kind of happened. But I will say one of my favorite, as I'm listening to people talk about it today, and I was listening to something on the news this morning, and they were just interviewing people who had seen it and their experience. And I'm looking all over social media. It's actually really fun today because it's just people showing where they were and their families getting together. And, you know, some people are driving to see it. Some people just hang out, you know, and I have to say again, These are these experiences that we don't get very often. I think I've talked about that, you know, back when the soccer team and we went to, you know, watch that with a bunch of people at a pub here in St. Louis. And everyone, you're just there together doing a thing, excited about a thing.
Yeah.
And it's just really refreshing. It just, you if you haven't done it, and I mean, again, I remember even on the plane, it was really fun, although some people... You know, one dude was just asleep in by the window. I was like, you could really give up your seat because I could really, I wouldn't mind sitting there. But I remember definitely last time, you know, when it happens too, I don't know, you'll hear people talk about this. And if you haven't been to an event or even just outside and seen it, it doesn't matter. You don't have to be in an event and haven't experienced it. There is something very emotional and like kind of sacred about it. And I don't know, it's awe-inspiring. I mean, you get, I don't know if it's like the little lizard part of the brain comes forward and is like, like you're just in awe and you feel like this is, it's emotional. Like a lot of people you'll see, they're kind of teared up or they cry, or, you know, they, people are clapping and cheering because it's a really kind of an emotional event. And I don't know why.
It was not emotional for me, but
Joni, golly.
But it's awesome. I mean, it really is.
Yeah.
You know, to me, it's, I just would go back to the whole verse of the heavens declare the glory of God.
And that's what I think is emotional about it to me is like, and it wasn't on the plane really emotional. It was more the time when we were all outside.
Yeah.
And you're all in a field together and you're all looking up and it literally went to totality. Like you could see the ring. It was crazy. So there's also an energy about the people around you that are, you know, all excited and but it's that idea that it was, it's just, it's awe inspiring. It's very, very cool. It's a cool thing to do. So, yay, eclipse. We all survived. Plane didn't crash. Oh, my goodness. I was a little concerned, but everything's fine.
Well, do you want to hear all my drama now?
I do. I mean, I'm happy. I'm happy to hear whatever drama you want to share.
So, tomorrow I have to go to this work-based learning conference.
Okay.
I don't do work-based learn. I don't deal with it. I don't, I've got too much on my plate already. They don't put that on me.
She ain't got time to learn.
But yet I have to be certified in it. Mm. So I have to miss, we are leaving at 6 o'clock in the morning and I probably won't get home until 6 o'clock that night or later tomorrow night. And so, you know, and I have to prepare for sub and all that. And that takes longer. It's not worth being absent when you have to prepare all that. So anyway, there's all that. But then I also, we're going to Skills next week, which you know, Skills USA in Chattanooga. And just Wednesday is when they sent me all the information.
Okay. You were waiting on all that. That's a little late. That's a week. Like,
Well, you know, if last you've been Wednesday? Doing it, if you have done it, you know, it's not, you kind of know what, but I mean, we've never done this before.
How do they know who's done it and who hasn't?
They don't. And we've never done this before.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, oh my gosh. And it's a lot.
Is it?
I mean, it, I have to take all kinds of equipment. I have to take all of our equipment. Not only that, I had to buy a, they are sharing a thing with three people and there's only like two burners on the stove. So you have to go buy your own little burner. And propane, I mean, I ended up just buying a bunch of stuff because I was on spring break and I spent all, I mean, days dealing with this and, you
and
know,
then you
and
have
I
to pack it all up and figure out how to get it all in. And,
and train this girl. Okay, here's what you've got to do. And I, you know, just go do your best.
Just
and have
do
fun.
Your best. Exactly.
Have fun.
Exactly. So, oh, I can't wait to get reports. I hope she has some fun. You'll have to interview her a little bit and get little quotes from her.
Yeah.
Like get little funny little insights from her. That'll be great to hear.
I have done nothing. Sorry, any, you know, admin at school. I've done nothing this week except to work on Skills. I mean,
well,
I've told my
lot.
The rest
that's
of my classes, and I said, y'all aren't doing anything this week. I don't care. Just do whatever you want to because they've just sent me this and it's much more than what I, so I'm digging through all that.
Okay.
Ooh. And anyway, then I've been dealing with a child abuse situation. And I do kind of want to talk about this a little bit. I don't know the allegations that are there. But I do know that sometimes it's so easy to want to believe kids when they come up and they say, you know, and you don't ever want to take it for granted and you don't ever
you want to follow up.
You want to follow up and you want to, but these kids have all been removed from the home. And the parents got into her cell phone and found some things and started some disciplinary action. And then all of a sudden the allegations of abuse have come out. Anyway, and I don't want to say too much, but here's what I'm saying start hearing people, you know, oh, kids have been removed or, you know, she's this, whatever. Yes, you have to take that seriously. Mm-hmm. But look, you've also got to know you've got some very hormonal, emotional, you know, teenagers that sometimes want a lot of attention and sometimes want to get mad at their parents for discipline and get them back. And so all I'm saying with that is don't jump to conclusions and don't, start vilifying people.
Well, yeah, don't talk right.
Until the whole truth comes out.
Yes, because there is sometimes two sides to every story. Uh-huh. Sometimes there's not. Sometimes there's one, well, there might be two sides, but it, you know, could be an incident, but, you know, especially where you are and just in a smaller town, like, you know, people can talk real easily
I think people, a lot of times they want to believe the worst about people or they quickly jump there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And, or they're scared or they're concerned. And so if you talk before, you know, the right people looking into it, like teachers, yourselves, and reporting to the right people to look into stuff is where it should go.
And there are things that may be legit. I mean, I'm not saying one way or the other on this. I'm just saying that, you know, you've got to take into account the whole picture before, you know, in America, and this is all over, you were innocent until you were proven guilty. And now it seems like you were guilty until you're proven innocent. And if you're proven innocent, it's too late because, you know,
right. No, that's true.
They've already been.
That's true. But, you know, you got to win a kid, as you know.
You've got to follow.
Sometimes you don't have any idea.
Ever,
I mean, how many times have we heard stories over and over till we're all sick, you know, to death of people who you would never suspect? You're one ever thought they were so nice. Yeah. They were so great. And so, unfortunately, you know.
Yeah.
We gotta look into it real good. But you're right. Just it's complicated. Well, good grief.
It is.
My goodness. So,
I've been dealing with that and
dealing
with skills and dealing with going to work-based learning. And I'm about to pull my hair out.
Okay. Well, we'll get you a real cute wig. It'll be
I'm at that, you know, calm crazy. I'm at that. Yeah. Oh, what? You want to go to the bathroom?
Yeah, right.
Oh, you can go to the bathroom.
Yeah, you're just in like autopilot, like, hey, it's denial. Like, it's fine.
Yes. Yeah.
It's okay. Yeah. Just y'all do. Everything will be fine. And you know what? It will be fine.
It will be fine.
You'll get through it. It'll be great. I will say, talking about some stuff in New York too, if you want to get into a business, I told Tim, I said, If we wanted to make some money in New York real easily, you want to get into the scaffolding business, okay? You want to either manufacture scaffolding or you want to be the putter-uppers of the scaffolding. I've never seen so much scaffolding in my entire life. It is literally everywhere.
Wow.
And It's just like on TV. I mean, New York, let me just say, it's just like in the movies and on TV. I mean, it pretty much there. It is just like how you see it. But the amount of scaffolding and lots of buildings being restored, you know, I mean, that makes, you know, but there's tons of, you know, especially all over, but Manhattan, you know, Manhattan, some of the older buildings and things are being restored and all that, which is wonderful. But the thing that got me was the scaffolding. And I meant to ask Thatcher, maybe I'll have to see, or maybe there's so many places where it's like over the sidewalk, you know what I mean? Like the site you walk under, right, the really heavy scaffold. I mean, this is like the beams are like big steel, like, and there's boards on the top, like it's a whole covered, like there's stuff going on above, but like a lot of the buildings there isn't, there's nothing going on for across the street from our hotel. It was a big building. It said Supreme Court of State of New York. So I don't know if it's a, if it's another office building or if it's the main one, I don't know, but it's a big building. And I looked down and scaffolding all covering the sidewalks, the board. I mean, I'm above, I can see, but there's nothing happening above. Like there's nothing going on. There's no window washers. There's no, and maybe they're prepping to do some, I don't know. There's just a ton of it. You walk under a ton. The streets, the construction, the scaffolding is just everywhere. So if you want to get, although I'm probably, it's probably all mob controlled, isn't it? You can't get into that business because they'll cut you and throw you into the river.
And your sister.
And your sister. They'll cut you and they'll cut your sister and they'll feed you to the fishes. Okay, never mind. Don't get into that. Don't get into that. It's too late. But anyway, I was just really struck by that. I'm like, there's just a lot of scaffolding. I did see three rats in the subway. I texted you immediately to tell you.
That I was one, thrilled.
Yeah, one time. I mean, we were in the subway several times, but this one time on Sunday morning, we were heading to Thatch, and there was some trash in the, there's not a lot of trash in the actual subway, where the subway goes. I don't know what that's called. In the trench. I'll just call it the trench. And I heard a little squeak, squeak, squeak. And I looked.
No, there were two of them at the, no,
there was two, there was that one. And then I looked down and they're gray. So they're the color of the bottom of the thing. So you can't, and then all of a sudden I look over and there's something else moving over there. And then I look over and there's another one. There was three of them.
Nope.
Down there just having the best time. When I got real scared, cause it was, it ran across the track towards us on the platform.
Oh my gosh.
And so I wanted to see where it went. So I kind of got up close, which I'm very scared to get up close to those platforms anyway, cause I'm 100% sure 100% someone is going to come and shove me from behind onto those tracks. Because again, I've watched the shows, you guys. I've watched the movies. Don't do it. Don't stand there. Someone always gets shoved onto the tracks. So I'm already scared of it, but there was no one hardly there. And I wanted to see the rat. And then I got really scared. What if it like ran up and jumped up in front of me?
No.
And so I backed. I was very brave.
Y'all, I can't.
They were big. They were big rats.
No.
But you know, that's just the way, that's the circle of life there. I sound like I'm saying a lot of negative things. I don't mean to, cause I'll get to pop, but you know, the other thing that's it's a whole different thing. Again, like the amount, the trash bags and the trash cans are all just out front. They're all just on the street, you know, in bags, nothing, you know, it's, but that's just, you know, where we were. I mean, you know, as you go further out, I guess, but you know, everyone has the trash bins there in their little front courtyard or of their brownstones or whatever, or just trash bags. Businesses are just putting trash bags and piles on the street. And you're just like, okay, this is why there are rats. But anyway, very different, but, you know, at the same time, it's an unbelievable place. It's exactly like the movies. One of the things that we did that was really fun on Friday is we tried to kind of figure out ahead of time, you know, Thatcher's like, what do you guys want to do? And he's so good about, you know, where do you want to go or what do you want to do? And I'd never been to New York. So, you know, to me, I'm just anything. I don't really have a specific thing that I'm not one that it's like, I got to go see a Broadway show. I mean, that would have been fine if we had wanted to and had nothing. I really just like to see the city. Like, I just want to see stuff. So I had an idea at one point before we went. I said, you know what I'd love is to, like, I'm really into the whole, the Gilded Age of New York. So like from after the Civil War to like before World War One is that whole Gilded Age in America. And in New York, of course, it was very prevalent. So you've got the Astors and the Rockefellers and the New Money and the Vanderbilts and the, you know, like that time, I'm like, those people and families that built, you know, kind of Manhattan, New York. And so I'm really fascinated with that. So I was like, I would love to just see some of that. So they looked it up and found a walking tour, a 2-hour walking tour of the Gilded Age. It was really, really fun. It wasn't like you could go in, you know, you can't go in. We went into a couple spots because one's a big Ralph Lauren store now. And the other one is some kind of French culture society. Anyway, so it's not like this was touring the home, because a lot of the homes are gone. I mean, the main, the Astor's home, you know, they got torn down, which makes me so sad. Sick. It makes me, but
yeah, I know.
No one wanted them, and no one, you know, when you've as he said on the tour too, when you've got like five homes, you've got a Newport Beach home, you've got a pot, like, the homes weren't as sentimental as like our homes kind of are now. Yeah. They were like, it's anyway, but it was still very interesting. Our tour guide was very informative. So he would talk about where, you know, this is where the house was and this is, you know, who lived here and who. So we started off at the Plaza Hotel, which was on my list of things to see because it's the Plaza Hotel. And one of my favorite books growing up of all time was Eloise.
Yes.
I loved Eloise. I loved the book. I loved the drawings. It's about a little girl named Eloise who lives in the Plaza Hotel and with her nanny. There's no parents.
They're off at the beach house.
There's no parents. They're off in Europe. Yeah. And or wherever they are, it never gets explained, but she's this precocious little girl with her shirt untucked and her little skirt. And, you know, she's kind of a little wild child, but she just lives there. So she just rollops all around the Plaza Hotel and goes down to the kitchens and gets a whatever. And she has a turtle and she has a little pug dog named Skippy. And there's a pigeon that comes and sits on her windowsill and visits her. And the drawings in the book, I always loved as a kid too, because the black drawing, like ink, was the reality, but then in like red, pink kind of red would be what she was imagining. So like she'd be drawn in black with her little sailor hat on, but she, in her mind, there's like all these pirates and they're sailing and, you know, so she has this great imagination and she's fantastic. And she lived at the Plaza Hotel. So we had to see that and we walk in and the gorgeous, there's the palm court and everyone was having tea, Joni, on the trays. And we didn't do that. Now that I'm looking back, I'm like, okay, that, but we needed to kind of move along. But I was like, that'd be really fun. And I saw her portrait. There's a portrait of Eloise in the lobby of the Plaza Hotel because she's their most famous resident that isn't real. In fact, the tour guide was telling us that when the creator of that story, and loosely based it kind of on someone that did live there, there was a lady that lived there, had all kinds of crazy animals, and so he kind of based the character a little bit on her daughter or her, and then they would get so much mail. In fact, there's a mailbox there by her picture, but they'd get all this mail for Eloise, and little girls would like be camped outside, like hoping to catch a glimpse of her.
That's hilarious.
And they got so much publicity that the Plaza Hotel let the author, Kay Thompson, I believe is the author, the writer, live at the Plaza Hotel for free the rest of her life.
How about that?
Wow. Maybe I think that's where my part of my obsession for hotels and hotel lobbies has come from. It was an early childhood imprint of
Eloise. Just
Eloise and how amazing it would be just to like live here. And actually it's interesting because so there's the hotel part and all that. And it's old. That's the original build. So that building was built, it was like the heart of the society events in the Gilded Age, which I was like, okay. So like if you had an event or a coming out or a part, any, you know, big parties and all that, wedding, all, a lot of them were at the Plaza Hotel. So I was like, well, that is cool. And then the one side at some point, pretty early on, people started to live there. But it still does. It has the residence side and they have their entrances right on the street with their little doorman people. And then into the lobby, you know, there's kind of, You can see through the big glass doors, but that's the residence in there. And I'm like, people live up in there, Joni. And they Tim live, saw, yeah. Here's the thing. We were peeking in the glass, big glass doors, and there was a bunch of packages, you know, Amazon, all the delivery with all people bringing. And there was a big old Amazon package of toilet paper. And I was like, well, looky there. Even if you live at the Plaza Hotel in New York City, you might still get your toilet paper delivered by Amazon, just like I do. So we're like the same. We're the same.
You are exactly the same.
I felt very bonded. I felt like we were all really just the same. Uh-huh. They get their toilet paper delivered just like I do.
Okay.
I felt good about that. And then I was like, then I saw people going in and out, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah, okay. Well, maybe I'm not the same.
We are not the same. That was probably one of my favorite, you know, just that whole experience getting to be in that hotel. And then that's where our tour started from. We met outside the Plaza Hotel, and our guide told us all about Mrs. Astor's big home that was right there, right on the square, facing right next to the Plaza Hotel. And just all of that whole, you know, the old money. Mrs. Astor really controlled the social environment in New York. Yes. She had her list of the 400, which were her selected 400 people or couple, you know, that could be in the upper crust. And if you didn't make the list, you
were out.
Too bad for you. And then, you know, it comes along, some of the railroad barons start to come along, and some of the new money. Because if you weren't old money, that was old money.
Yes.
It had to go back certain generations. You had to inherit your fortune from like two or three generations back to be considered the upper crust of society. So then a lot of these, you know, newer, we got the Vanderbilts doing the railroads. We've got Rockefeller, you know, the oil. We've got, you know, Carnegie Steel and all this kind of coming in with this new money. And they wanted to be a part of
the high
society and the 400. Uh-huh. And there was this whole kind of rivalry and different clubs being built for the new money as versus the old. If you want an insight, if you want something fun to watch, I don't know if you've watched this, Joni. If you have HBO Max, there's the show that's been very big and popular, The Gilded Age, on there. And there's two seasons of it. It's delightful. It's a great, clean, you know, takes place. Now, and it takes place, it's America. It takes place in New York. And it is. Mrs. Astor is in that. And then some more fictional the new money person kind of family, but it showed really well from what our tour guide said. You know, he was really gave a lot of insight about how, you know, the women and that were the new money women were much more ambitious, socially ambitious than, you know, even their husbands. Mm-hmm. And they were much more a part of like a partnership with their husbands in terms of, I'm going to get us
up,
you know,
there. Yes.
Up there.
The social, yes.
The social climbing is really what they were very interested in. So like they made sure they built a bigger ballroom, because the deal was with the 400 was that's how many could fit in Mrs. Astor's ballroom. So that was kind of the key. And so this other new money person built, you know, one that would seat 12,000, and then there'd be, you know, it's all about one-upping and the opulence and all 12, that kind
12,000?
Or, I'm sorry, 1,200.
1,200. Oh,
12,000.
Was like, that is an arena.
That's a big room. No, I mean like 1,200, I think.
Okay. Still a big room.
That's a lot. And, you know, this constant like one-upping and kind of how that all happened in the new money versus the old money and the snubbing and the show really shows you several different angles on that. And then the other interesting fact, let's see.
I'm going to start my own club called The Eight.
I'm going to start The Four. I don't know. My club. Right now,
I'm better than you.
You are better than me. I'm better. I'm more exclusive. I'm more exclusive than you are. I mean, you guys, the opulence and the money being spent, and then all these, you know, houses just, you know, coming down later, or the kids didn't want them or couldn't afford, you know. But Mrs. Astor, of course, many people will know, her son. Her son, John Jacob Astor, who inherited her fortune and all this. And he married a young, I think he married twice. He married once and then he married a second time to a much younger woman. And they decided to take a big trip around the world, and they were coming back on the Titanic. And the wife, and she was pregnant at the time, child survived, and John Jacob Astor was probably the most wealthy and well-known of the...
I think he was the wealthiest man in the world at that time.
I believe he was, and he died in the Titanic, along with several other upper-crust society people, but he was kind of one of the big...
Guggenheimer? Wasn't Guggenheimer on there?
Maybe. Could be. Several. He was kind of the highest, the wealthiest, you know, and he just went down, but his wife and child survived. So it's just fascinating. I love that kind of stuff, but Tim and Thatcher loved it too. Like, we walked and walked and walked and, but it just, I like to learn, I don't know, just as you're walking around and just to learn all this, you know, things that you just wouldn't know just walking around. So,
right. Yeah.
That was really fun. So go watch The Gilded Age on HBO. Okay. It's very good. I think there's only two seasons, but, really great. You know, kind of Downton Abbey-esque, you know.
I will when I get through April.
No, you need it now because you need a happy...
I don't have time. Okay.
Okay. You make time. Oh, my gosh.
All right.
Yep. So that was very, very cool. I'm just looking at my list really quickly to see if there's anything else. Oh, we got to eat. They really let me have a good day. We had every day was a good day. But we did that Gilded Age tour. It ended at the Metropolitan Art Museum. We had about an hour and a half before we had reservations for dinner. So we went in there real quickly. Thatch and I did. Tim kind of just hung out. But whipped through the Metropolitan Museum of Art, which, you guys, we really just saw breezed through the Egyptian section. But anyway, fantastic. And then we walked through Central Park, kind of cruised through there, because we had a reservation to eat at Tavern on the Green.
Oh, look at you.
We felt very fancy.
I would think so.
It was just really fun. Because we were like, where do we go? Where do we eat? And I said, well, Tavern on the Green. And the day, I think earlier in that day, I think it was the day before. I was like, well, let me just see. Do they take reservations? What's happening? And I knew we would be done at our tour. So we were like 5:30, and we got in, no problem. So we sat there and had our little meal.
That's because they probably don't eat in New York till like 9 o'clock.
I think so. We were like on the grandma, although it was Express, full, people were still probably doing lunch, getting done with lunch. I don't even know.
I just can't eat that late.
I know. 5:30 was.
But I've never wanted to eat that late. You know, I mean,
I'm not either.
What?
Especially as I've gotten older. I'm like, no, thanks. Yeah, I want to eat at like 5:30 and I'm good. So that was super fun. We felt very fancy.
Well. All right. I'm going to give my recipe.
I'm ready for your recipe.
Okay. I'm going to do a lemon cream chicken.
Ooh.
We're going to fix this at Skills.
Oh my gosh.
This is
going to
be one of the entrees. Mm-hmm. And you season your chicken breast with salt and pepper and, you know, garlic powder, I think. And then you just fry it in a little bit of olive oil and get it probably about 6 minutes each side. Get it done. We haven't tested this yet. And then you are going to make a roux, you know, with your butter and get your butter and some garlic and think onion. I had to look at the recipe. Mm-hmm. Haven't made it yet.
And you've never made it?
We've never made this yet.
Okay. It sounds so good. When do you put the lemon in at the end?
At the end. So after you make your roux, you know, then you put your flour in and get that good and brown and whisk it until your flour clumps are gone. Okay. Then you come in and add half and half to it and, you know, get all that whisked up. And then you add your lemon to it.
I love lemon chicken.
Lemon, garlic,
so much.
Chicken. Yeah.
That sounds really, really good. Yeah. That'll be a crowd pleaser too.
So,
serve that over rice, or what would you? Yep, I would just serve it over rice.
We're doing a rice pilaf, and we're doing what else did they have to? So they have to use like specific cuts and specific things. Like she's going to have to fabricated chicken in front of judges and all this.
Fabricate a chicken?
Mm-hmm. Cut up a chicken.
Oh, I thought fabricated means make it, put it together.
Fabricating is cutting it up, yeah.
Oh, well, look at you with your fancy culinary terms. Okay.
She's so, so smart. Anyway, okay. So I will put out the recipe for the lemon garlic cream chicken.
Mm, that sounds amazing. You guys, spring, with spring yep. coming like this, like it's time mm-hmm. to do all the lemon citrus things. Mm-hmm. That sounds really good. I love a lemon chicken. Okay, thanks for sharing. It's also yeah. your week four.
Top three.
I know that it's my top three. And do I have anything? No,
she looks so depressed. She looks really distraught.
I haven't done anything. Okay, I will say this. Hang on, I'm looking. I did those. Oh, I know what I have are my pillows and my pillow covers.
Oh.
So, okay, so outside, because I change my pillows up seasonally. Mm-hmm. I'm very thematic.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but go on Amazon and you can buy outdoor pillows mm-hmm. and the covers zip off. And so at the end of Valentine's Day, I fold them up and I get out my St. Patrick's Day covers.
Oh, she's so good, you guys.
And then put those on there. And right now I've got my Easter ones up. But that way you're not keeping 10,000 pillows
right.
that you have nowhere to store.
No, you can't do that. That's
just
perfect.
Fold them up. They're great.
Yep. Tiny. Yep. It all can go in one little crate or bin or something and yep. drawer.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. Now I have a bra suggestion for you.
Oh, good. Because this one, I'm so tired of them.
I am too. So this is a Bally super soft bra.
Okay.
Now, I will say this. I'm not sure it feels good. Okay. It's so it doesn't like cut into you. You don't have all the, you know, mm-hmm. the back bulges and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And it is super soft. However, let me say this. I'm not convinced about the support yet.
It's not going to support you good.
But,
I can tell you right now it's not.
Hold on. It's not too bad, but I think I ordered too big of a size. So I've ordered a smaller one, and I think it's going to be better.
Okay.
And I will check back in. But look, right now it feels good, and so
I know
I'm
that,
going with
that's
that.
The thing that I can't.
You need the feel good and the support.
I want
and
it
that's
to feel good and then also be enough support, and I'm not having to adjust stuff and do stuff around. I mean, guys. How hard is this? Apparently, it's very hard. Oh, I'm excited to hear. I will look for that. I know we have a bunch of Bally here at like Kohl's and stuff. I may go.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I got it off of Amazon. It's okay. not a huge thing.
And what is it called? The Bally Super Soft Bra? Mm-hmm. Is that all it's called?
Super Soft? Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. All right. There's hope, guys. Keep hope alive.
Okay. My next one I've mm-hmm. been looking at. I've had them before, and so I'm going to go on board saying yes, are the Big Joe floats for the pool.
Those are good.
But they've got some, and I'll check back in, but we've had the chairs, and we've had the ones that you just lay flat on, and mm-hmm. they've got some more now that are like recliners.
What?
So, but the Big Joe brand are fabulous. And
they
look, I've set them on the edge of the pool and you can sit on, you know, you can sit on
because they're
them.
Like, explain to people what they...
It's like a beanbag.
Right. They're like a beanbag.
Yeah.
They feel like a big beanbag. It's not something you blow up.
That's right. Nope.
It's got little beanies in it so it squishes to your body. So like you said, yeah. you could sit it on the side of the pool, you know, and it's... Mm-hmm. And those lasted you, honestly, pool floats don't last a long
yeah.
time. They
yeah.
You
no.
have to usually replace them every year yeah. or so. But those were around for quite a...
Mm-hmm.
Quite a while.
Yep.
So
yep.
it's, those were our favorite.
Yep. Yeah.
What happened? Did they finally die?
No, I've still got them.
I thought
I still
so.
I have some.
Okay.
But I'm looking at the recliner one. I want the recliner one.
That sounds real good. That sounds
real,
real good.
I say real good. Anyway.
Well, those are awesome. Thanks for sharing the top three. Those
How's
are amazing.
That? That's top pretty, three off the top of my head right
that's
there.
That's pretty good. You're pretty smart.
Thank you.
Those are things you're liking.
You.
That's all it. Top three doesn't have to be, it's just whatever we come up with, something that you're liking. That's okay. Sometimes it's nothing much. Sometimes it's a beverage. Sometimes it's
I got this cool pin the other day.
I got a real, hey, look, I've done pins before. Pins are very important.
Yeah, they are. They are.
All right. Well, let me, we're going to let you guys go. You can get back to your life. You can, again, you've squandered another hour or so of your life, but hopefully you were doing something else. I'm going to go paint my nails.
Hey, I'm not.
Because it's time. Well, you can, I know, honey.
I can't paint mine. Okay. So wait, I got a question for you. And so this will be, imperative to all our listeners.
Okay.
I am not going to be here next week.
Right.
So,
yeah,
you can come on and give a bunch of, designer information. Spring designer info.
Okay. We'll see what, guys, we will leave it as we don't know what's happening next week.
You could get a guest speaker.
I might. I only have four people in my circle of my society. I don't have anyone else. No, but we will see. It'll be a surprise next week. It may not even be, who knows, but we're going to let Joni have her week of doing what she needs to do without any pressure or stress of whatnot. So it may be me coming on. And like she said, that's not a bad idea, except I don't like talking by myself. What am I going to say? Be no one to look at on the screen and, make fun of. But maybe I will. I might come up with a few things or, either way, I'll for sure pop on and let y'all know and just say hello. No episode or a tiny short episode. Who knows? So we'll surprise you guys. So we hope you have a great time, Joni. Have fun at Skills. And your homework is just, you're going to have fun stories.
We're just going to have fun. Yeah.
Yep. You're going to have good stories. You're going to have good little, hopefully no bomb threats this year. So we're just going to, nothing like that. Yeah. And just have a great time. And then you'll have lots to, of course, share and report back on. So
that's right.
Hope you guys have a great, wonderful week. As spring is coming. It's here. We're happy. And we will talk to you guys later. Goodbye, Cornbread.
See you, Corn Dip.
Are you okay? Okay.
Listen. The amount of stress in my life right now.
You need Calgon.
I need a little more than Calgon.
You need Calgon and a stiff whiskey.
Yeah.
To take you away.
Yeah.